Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Stop the presses. I don't think I can do a show. Well, I will, but I don't want to do a show without my chapstick. This is bad. It's bad news. Now, I'm going to muddle through until I can get out to my car where I have an emergency chapstick reserve. Don't you worry. I think if you listen to the show going back the last few years, you know, every now and then I am goofy enough to walk in here to work without my chapstick. And then sometimes I don't have one in my car. Tonight I know that I do. So you don't have to worry about me too much. Remember one time I was so out of sorts without my chapstick that producer Tom went and bought some at the nearby store. Now, I didn't tell him to, but he went and bought some. So he had a reserve just in case. He was worried about the quality of the show. But it seems pretty par for the course when it comes to our hump show. Middle show of the work week. Your middle show of the work week. I actually just have tomorrow and then I'm on vacation. It's not a full week off, but it's a long, long weekend. And I'm really excited about that. Going to visit my mom in Houston and she's got a day off from work at least. So we're really excited. But it doesn't mean I'm mailing it in. We still have the hump show and then I've got tomorrow night as well. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We've got breaking news from the NFL. So let's start with that before we get to some of the other stuff. Stuff's the technical term for what we have scheduled for tonight's show. Stuff, as in stuffful. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network is reporting that the NFLPA Board of Representatives, so the team reps, have voted to pass along the proposal for the new labor deal to the full membership. So they've decided they're going to allow the players to vote on the proposal that's in front of them. And I'm not sure if you were following this story today, but it was hours of the owners and player reps meeting and talking about the various tenets, various layers of this new collective bargaining agreement. Now, remember, the owners already agreed to it. They agreed to their own proposal. What a shocker. So the owners had already agreed to the proposal. Reportedly weren't giving the Players Association a lot of wiggle room. Weren't planning on renegotiating, take it or leave it kind of a thing. But in Indianapolis, there are union reps for all 32 teams. Okay, so every team has one guy they elect to be part of this. It's essentially the board. It's like their executive board. When they have an executive council and they have the group of team reps. So they were all there at this particular hotel they chose just in case they needed to vote. So remember, I told you last night, if you weren't with us or you missed it, There are multiple layers. There are two things that need to happen before the membership, the players, all of the players ever get to vote. One, the executive council has to approve it. Two, the union reps, the team reps have to approve it. And then it has to go to the full membership. So the first two hoops have been jumped through. And now the players are expected to vote on this new labor deal sometime in the next couple days. Okay, so the proposed collective bargaining agreement is headed to the players for them to vote. 10 years they'll be locked into this CBA. 10 years of what the owners would like you to believe is labor peace. We'll see whether or not the players got enough for the 17-game schedule. Are the players all happy? Can they live with this new collective bargaining agreement?
How about no?
We'll see. Hard no was what J.J. Watt said, and I don't know that it's changed a whole lot. It's only been a few days since the proposal was kind of unveiled by the owners and by the NFL. So if nothing's changed, at least the last I knew, there was a pretty significant split among players about whether or not they wanted the 17 games, whether or not they felt like the NFL was giving up enough, mostly money, conceding more money and more revenue for them to agree to everything that was in this proposal. All they need is a simple majority. So all they need is 50.6%. And actually, I guess if they really round up, 50.5%. They don't even need two-thirds majority. They just need more players saying yes than players saying no. So that's the latest. The Board of Player Representatives for the NFLPA has agreed to pass this on to all of the members, all of the players, to vote.
It's time to have some fun.
Yeah, we'll see. So that could be your breaking news coming up on Wednesday. But for now, we've got the breaking news on this Tuesday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I mentioned Tom Pelissero, but there are others. George Atala, actually, who he works with the Players Association. And so he had the official word out there. He's the Assistant Executive Director of External Affairs. I don't know what that means, but he's embedded with the NFLPA. A lot of times he's the one who releases the communication. So he first had it, and then Pelissero of NFL Network followed it up. So we'll see. We'll see whether or not they vote tonight. That seems to be probably not realistic because there are players spread out all over the country. Probably some of them are not even in the country, and they likely need to give them a certain amount of time before they would have to have their votes either logged or registered. So sometimes if you vote online, I know for my union, when we have votes, there are multiple options. You can fill out a card, you can mail it back, you can go to our union website, you can vote that way. You can do it by phone. There are a lot of different ways you can vote when there are proposals on the table. So but they also have to give you a certain amount of time because, again, it's hard sometimes to reach players in the off season. And not everybody checks their email every 5 minutes or whatever else. And so they have to notify us in our union by both snail mail as well as by email. And then they give us a certain amount of time. But I'm not sure how it works for the NFL Players Association. So that's the big news coming from Indianapolis and coming from the NFL is that very soon the players will have their first chance to vote on this new collective bargaining agreement. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Thanks so much for being part of our hump show. You want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything? Well, you can do that too on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And then our phone number, as always, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. A couple of cool things we have on tonight's show. One of them is a question that has nothing to do with sports, but that's kind of how I feel right now. Our show last night was really heavy, talking about the Kobe Memorial and letting you hear the audio from Vanessa Bryant, from Shaq, from Michael Jordan. And so it was more emotional, really, than I expected. Not that I didn't think it would be an emotional memorial service, but more emotional for me than I expected. I wasn't expecting it to be quite so poignant. a month after, because a lot of the sports world had started to move forward again, and it wasn't Kobe being mentioned in every breath, but that memorial service was beautiful. It was very well done, but it was also extremely emotional and heavy. And so tonight I want to have some fun, some outside the box question that has nothing to do with sports, which of course means people will yell at me because I'm not talking about sports, but I think they'll get over it. So you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter or to our Facebook page. And then coming up, I will toss out our movie question, but also really fascinating conversation with former Major League Baseball infielder and current MLB Network analyst Billy Ripken. Ripken. It's like being a Manning in football. Ripken in baseball. He right away has to live up to a name. Anyway, he survived more than a decade in Major League Baseball, even though he didn't get nearly as much attention as his brother. But he's got this, I think it's for me as a nerd, someone who definitely enjoys using numbers when I'm painting a picture or making an argument in sports. Nerd alert! Yes, beware. I think that his book is really timely. It's called State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. Now, what do we know about Major League Baseball? It's beholden to numbers. It really is. It's all about its records and its career numbers, the home runs, of course. I mean, these are sacred numbers, the hitting streaks, the batting averages. I mean, we love the numbers in baseball. In fact, there are a lot of people who still will go to a stadium and will keep score on a score sheet. And it's a whole system where we keep track of all the numbers. But it's gotten so, I think, convoluted with the analytics and some of the acronyms that I don't even understand. And I work in the business, for heaven's sakes, but I also don't know how much they contribute, at least not for fans, at least not for your viewing experience. And so Billy's goal in writing this book was to explain the balance, what needs to happen for a successful baseball team. How do you balance experience, knowledge of the game, and the numbers and the analytics? Because there are, let's be honest, there are full-on organizations in both baseball and football, probably in basketball too, where they're slaves to the numbers. That's all they care about. If the analytics say do this, well, then you do this, regardless of what that particular player is doing at the time, regardless of situation. It turns into almost an inhibitor to how some managers face the game. They're not allowed to use their own instincts. Instincts are taken out of it. Gut feeling, instincts, just the flow of the game. But also knowing your players' personalities. Analytics don't measure heart. They don't measure desire. They don't take into account things like the flu. I mean, analytics can't possibly cover everything. And so how do you balance the two? And so this conversation that I had with Billy Ripken was really interesting. We did also talk about the Astros, and I asked him whether or not baseball was ready to move on. He's very funny. He's got a really sharp wit, really clever. And so I'm excited for you to hear that conversation with Bill Ripken. We'll do that next hour. So in the meantime, we've got Ask Amy Anything. So you can, well, we're not doing it yet. We've given you some time. I know you need some time to be creative, but you can send your questions. And straight ahead, we had a couple of pretty, I would say, mammoth matchups in the NBA. Now, one in particular, a clash of East Titans, but also really fun to see Zion Williamson and LeBron James on the court at the same time, and also Anthony Davis facing his former team. So we'll lace up the high tops and run full court for a bit until you all run out of gas. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
All right, pry the lid off here. Middleton lifting for the jumper. Hit it right wing. Wow, another big shot by Middleton. 89-82. They've held him in check pretty well, but the Bucks have an 8-point lead. Middleton leans in with the left hand. Up and under to score it. Bucks lead by 10. Middleton with another big shot. Well, he's doing this two nights in a row. Had 40 last night in D.C. Chris over to Bledsoe. Bledsoe driving. Giannis, corner three. Up, got it! ABC for Giannis from the left corner. 104-94. The MVP with the biggest shot of the night.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I confess, when I saw the Milwaukee Bucks down 12 late in the second quarter of this game in Toronto, I wondered whether or not they were feeling the demons, maybe haunted by the demons. Remember the last time they were in Toronto, it was for game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Of course, Kawhi Leonard's not there anymore, and these are not the same Milwaukee Bucks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Ted Davis with the calls on the Bucks Radio Network. Giannis with 19 points, 19 rebounds. Chris Middleton over 20 again. And they rally from double figures down late in the first half to win their 18th game in 20 tries. And this is the type of matchup I think prepares them more for what they're going to see come Eastern Conference playoff time.
Get a little bit of rhythm of, you know, the aggressiveness that they were playing with, you know, to the ball, you know, especially Giannis. And I thought his composure and kind of just seeing the court, reading the court. And then you got to make some shots, you know. Different guys stepped up, made shots. And we got to play in transition. I think it was a 19-point defensive quarter, so you're getting a lot of stops. You get out to run. Hopefully play against a defense that's not set.
Yeah, Toronto only scored 19 points in the third quarter, and that's when the Bucks were able to take over the lead and then hold it through the end of the game. They didn't shoot well. They shot only 38%, so the Raptors' defense was real strong at times, but the Raptors were even worse from the floor at 35% shooting. And how about this? The Raptors took 52 three-point shots. What are you, the Rockets? 52 triples attempted. They only made 18. And for the life of me, I have no idea why Serge Ibaka was taking 10 three-point shots. Pascal Siakam was 5 of 9. Everybody else was pretty bad. So not a banner shooting night, but 18 of 52? Yowzers.
That's nerd stuff.
The Bucks almost had as many made triples, and they took 10 fewer shots from outside. But big game. Bucks Raptors, the first time they met in Toronto since game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. This one goes to the Bucks, and it's a confidence builder. They now have 50 wins on the season. And as I say, they have won 18 of their last 20, including 4 in a row. And they're the only team that has clinched a playoff spot with still more than 50 days to go until we hit the postseason. Lakers would be the next closest team to 50 wins, though they still have a little bit of work to do to get there.
Here's LeBron dribbling right. LeBron, give it to Danny Green. Fakes a three, takes a two, and hits it. 110-104, Lakers by 6. Ingram with Danny Green on him. 5 to shoot. Ingram shakes Green left, and they poke it away. Anthony Davis has got it. Here comes Green. Bounce pass, LeBron. Look out! Slam dunk! Lakers 112, Pelicans 104. LeBron on the left side. One-on-one against Holiday. Turns the corner, down the middle, lay it up, and in! The Lakers have taken over and lead by 10.
LeBron James with yet another banner night. And for sure, having a couple days off helps, but he joins only two other Lakers, in case you're wondering about this rare company that he keeps. It's going to happen more and more, of course, because of his age, and yet he's so productive. He stays in incredible shape. But these types of records, so one of only 3 Lakers in their franchise history ever to score at least 40 in a game after the age of 35. Don't ask me who keeps track of this stuff, but I'm just passing it along. So he had 40 points, 8 rebounds, first ever meeting against Zion Williamson and the other Pelicans, of course. John Ireland with the call on the Lakers radio network. So the Lakers end up winning their sixth in a row. They inch closer to that 50 mark, though, right now at 44 wins. Anthony Davis with a double-double, and he is not lost in facing his former team. But the potential is there, right? The potential to see Zion Williamson, once he's past his rookie year, has a little more experience. Not that he isn't already good and worth a show. He definitely is. He's so much incredible energy and athleticism and footwork, all of these things that he brings to the table. But a little more experience at this level with guys who are stronger, more seasoned, you know a few more of the tricks of the trade. All of that he'll gain as he continues to play, not to mention the aggressive mentality that his teammates keep encouraging him to use. In this one, he is 8 of 18 from the floor, but really good from the free throw line, has 29 points. And it was Brandon Ingram who ended up with 34. So it was a relatively competitive game despite the 40 from LeBron James. 855-212-4227, that's our toll-free line. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. So get a quote at geico.com. Again, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, if you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And then on our Facebook page, too. Now, coming up, we have a lot to do in the world of football. We've got a bunch of QB news. The Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa meetings with the press, they were interesting. I think we got some information when it comes to Tua and his rehab, but when it comes to Joe Burrow, you kind of get a little more of his personality. He's got so many of these interviews that he has to do now. He's a hot commodity. Everybody wants a piece of him as a Heisman Trophy winner, as a national champion, as a guy who has played his best football on the biggest stages, and now being at the combine, people obsessing over his hand size. I mean, this is what it's like to live in the spotlight. Even before you get to be an NFL quarterback, I suppose it's good preparation, but he kind of handles it with a bit of irreverence, which I like. It's fun to hear from him. So those two, I shouldn't say locks, but those two probable early draft picks come 2 months from now. You'll hear from them. And then we got a whole bunch of other football news that we want to pass along, which we'll drop in during the show. For instance, are you wondering about the future of Stephon Diggs and the Minnesota Vikings? And why is it that Joe Judge won't even declare Daniel Jones his starting quarterback? It's the principle of the thing, you know. So send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also on our Facebook page, as well as on Twitter, After Hours CBS. I need to go get chapstick. See what's happening here? I'm almost falling apart without my chapstick. So I have to make a run out to my car. And I have to tell you what new recipe I made for dinner in the crock pot. It was so good. It's, in my opinion, as good as what you might find at a restaurant. But, you know, I'm a little bit biased because it's something that I made. But I did try it out on my neighbor and also got two thumbs up. So I'll tell you about my new recipe. It's not, I don't think it will top chili in my book, but it's perfect for a cold fall.
Cheese.
It did have cheese, absolutely. It's perfect for a cold fall or winter evening. Oh, so good. So good. And it had some vegetables.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Snap back. Joe has it. Looks. Launches towards the end zone. Adjusting. Terrace Marshall goes up. Pulls it down. Touchdown, LSU. 24-yard touchdown pass. Add another to Joe Burrow. Give Terrace Marshall his first reception for a touchdown tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Joe Burrow set records, won a Heisman, collected a national championship, turned heads, all of those things. Oh, smoked a cigar in the winning locker room. He is living it up and now is at the combine where he has to deal with people talking about his small hands. Yep. That's what happens when you are an NFL quarterback or almost an NFL quarterback. People obsess over some of the dumbest stuff. Chris Blair on the LSU radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to Joe Burrow holding court at the Combine, as well as the latest on Tua Tagovailoa's health. Remember, he had that devastating hip injury. Actually, it could have been career-ending, but thankfully, he had great medical attention, doctors and surgeons and everything else. And here we are talking about him at a workout day, which I think is incredible. So you'll hear from both Joe and Tua here straight ahead. But a couple of things that I wanted to share. Number one, did you guys see Shaquille O'Neal trip and fall backwards on the inside the NBA set on Tuesday evening? Is it Tuesday? Tuesday evening. So I love the fact that he doesn't care if TNT shows the video of him tripping and falling and breaking things on set. It actually happened during a break. Chris, I don't know if you can find the video or not. It may be out there. It may not. But it was really funny. They were taking a break and they had a couple of guests on set, and he went to step backward, but he was too close to a step that was behind him. And so he didn't step up. He broke off a piece of the step and fell backwards, crash. And they replayed it once they came back from their commercial break. It was really funny. And he doesn't care. He laughs, which I think is great. You laugh and the world laughs with you. And Shaq has always had such a great self-deprecating quality about him. Now, when Charles Barkley comes at him, sometimes he pushes back, but he doesn't mind if people laugh at him for being a klutz. And we saw some of that during his playing career as well, which is kind of funny. Anyway. Oh my gosh. One of my favorite moments ever from inside the NBA on TNT, but also he's in our Hall of Fame. Shaq is in our Hall of Fame. That was a different time. So he was at the desk. He went to stand up and his feet were tangled up in the computer cords underneath. So he stands up. He pulls computer equipment down off the desk. He trips and falls. This is on live TV. This wasn't during a commercial break. Trips and falls and sprawls out and brings equipment with him. It was hysterical.
Down goes Shaq! Down goes Shaq!
It was equipment flying. It was Shaq flying. And of course, they had a great time with it. So that was, I mean, that moment is out there. You can see it on social media if you Google it. But this one, I don't know if they put the video up. Oh, Chris did find it. Good. Okay, so check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And while you're there, you can also post your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Yeah, so funny. This is, it's just Shaq. And yet he doesn't care. He's okay with playing the fool. Shacked in the fool, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. And next hour, Billy Ripken with his new book that dissects this dependence that baseball has on the analytics. And I also talked to him about the Houston Astros situation. And then in the middle hour of the show, we'll let you ask her questions and, well, you don't get to ask your questions. Chris will ask your questions, but that's part of Ask Amy Anything. So the new recipe that I tried tonight before we get to football, the new recipe that I tried for dinner, and I was a little nervous because if you don't have a good recipe for this said meal, you could ruin it. It could be too heavy. It could be too creamy. It could be not creamy enough. But I tried this recipe for baked potato soup that my mom found in a magazine with crockpot recipes. And you had to do it by putting the potatoes and the potatoes, the garlic, the salt, and the chicken broth into the crockpot and then letting it cook for 8 hours. So I cooked it on low while I was sleeping. I didn't sleep 8 hours, I wish. But I put it on low and left it in a crock pot while I was sleeping. So I wake up in the afternoon to feed the pets and walk the dog, yada, yada. And my entire kitchen smells like potatoes. It was actually pretty nice. So I then had to add the cream, in my case, half and half. So half and half was an option. Half and half and a little bit of flour. Mix it all together. Cook it some more. Then you throw in the broccoli. And there was one other ingredient. Oh, the broccoli and the pepper. Mix it again and let it sit for let it cook for another 10 minutes. In the meantime, I made bacon because we had to have crispy bacon to go on top. You guys, it was so good. So my neighbor gave it 2 thumbs up. She really liked it. She came over for dinner. I told her she was my guinea pig. And now I feel like we need to have a special baked potato soup night just so I can show off this new recipe. It was really, really good. Dave will like it no matter what because Dave likes everything. Chris, do you like baked potato soup?
Oh, sure.
Chris says that, but then he might have a spoonful or something. It's okay. At least I have Dave to help me clean up. So I made this gigantic pot. It's a crock pot full of baked potato soup. But we managed to eat, I would say, more than half of it. And so I've got leftovers I'm pretty excited about. Yeah, it was really good. I didn't ruin it and didn't screw it up. It was the perfect texture and kind of light. So I highly recommend, this recipe. I guess I would have to share it with you if I'm going to highly recommend it, right? But it was a good day. It was a good day for that because baked potato soup. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, there is absolutely no way I can segue from baked potato soup to rookie quarterbacks, but, you know, we're just going to do it abruptly. Or sharks. Not baby sharks. Actual sharks.
Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night?
I am hungry.
You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
As I listen to Joe Burrow talk to the media and answer all of their questions, and let's be honest, some of these questions are repetitive, some of them are incessant, I can tell that he's having fun with it. Now, there's an irreverence to it where he's decided he's not going to take it too seriously. There's also a bit of an arrogant quality to it, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Just he's pretty comfortable in his own skin. Now, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not he would force his way out of Cincinnati if the Bengals were to draft him. Remember that whole conversation last week where he mentioned leverage? He has leverage when it comes to where he plays. There are mixed opinions about a young, talented athlete coming into a pro sport for the first time and having some say in where he goes. But there are others who say you go where you are drafted. Well, the interesting thing is that he's got ties to Cincinnati. He grew up in Ohio. It's not that far from where he is. And so maybe he actually would like to go to Cincinnati, where it probably wouldn't be the first choice of other quarterbacks. He's trying to clarify here that he'll go anywhere he's drafted, and that includes Cincinnati.
I'm not going to not play. I'm a ball player. Whoever picks me, I'm going to go show up. It's 2 hours, 15 minutes from my house, and I could go home for dinner if I wanted to. Not a lot of pro athletes could get to do that.
You know, the only thing that I've said is I just didn't want to be presumptuous about the pick, and so that's why I've been noncommittal, because I don't know what's going to happen. You know, they might not pick me. They might fall in love with someone else. So, they, you know, you guys kind of took that narrative and ran with it, but there has never been anything like that from my end.
Wait, what? The media actually took a piece of what was said and turned it into something it wasn't supposed to be? I mean, come on, that never happens. Joe Burrow trying to clarify here. The only reason I'm not assuming that the Bengals are going to choose me is because they may decide they want someone else. I think it's kind of smart. He has not yet met with the Bengals, but he is scheduled to meet with Cincinnati Brass over the next few days. Now, let's move on to the other very pressing issue about Joe Burrow, his hand size. Apparently, there's been a whole lot of discussion over whether or not his hands are suited to play football in the NFL.
I think the only thing with the hands is if you have a lot of fumbles, and I didn't have a lot of fumbles, so I think it's a non-factor. I don't get paid to, you know, talk about measurements and analyze the measurements. I get paid to play football, so that's what I'm going to do.
Did you all see his tweet after this uproar really started? Considering retirement, after I was informed the football will be slipping out of my tiny hands, please keep me in your thoughts. Chris, if you want to retweet that, that's funny. At @Joe_Burrow10. And instead of it being Joe Burrow as his name is listed as Joey Burrow. So Joey Burrow has, I think, an irreverent approach to it. Don't take it all seriously. If you do, you'll drive yourself crazy. You can't worry about what every critic has to say about you or your hands or what choice of words you might use to talk about the NFL draft. It's part of being in the spotlight. Everything that you say is going to be picked apart 8 ways to Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He's very clear about the goal that he has for April's draft.
Of course I want to be the first pick. You know, that's every kid's dream. You know, I've worked really, really hard for this opportunity, and I'm blessed to be in this position, and a lot of people helped me get here.
You and your tiny hands. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. What about Tua? Tua coming off a really painful and serious hip injury suffered late in his season with Alabama. And so he is now answering questions about his rehab. I don't think it's going to scare away teams, but this is the major question around Tua, who, of course, will not be throwing at the combine.
Up to this point, I've been rehabbing my butt off. You know, after March 9th, when I get clearance from my doctors, then it's full go up until my pro day. Strengthening all the parts around the hip, you know, the glute, the hamstring, the quad. You know, just being able to be ready that once March 9th hits and we're cleared to go, then I'll be able to do everything.
So Tua expects to be cleared by doctors in a couple of weeks. Isn't that amazing? It's certainly a tribute to the doctors and the medical attention he's had, the rehab facilities. Obviously, Alabama has the best of the best. And so to have access to all those facilities and resources is huge. But it's also a testament to what great shape he's in and the power of the human body to recover and to rehab and to heal. And I just think it's phenomenal after the serious injury, the broken hip, as well as some of the other complications, that he is going to be cleared more than likely on March 9th and then is expected to hold his pro day a month later. I mean, that's phenomenal, and I'm so happy for him. Now, his draft status is at least partly tied to his health. I do think there are teams out there that would be willing to take him even if he's not cleared, even if he can't really work full bore at his pro day. He's shown everything he needs to show at the college level, on the field, with Alabama in the biggest games. And he's got a great agent, Lee Steinberg, who's out there doing his due diligence. There's been a lot of talk about Tua and the Dolphins. They seem to be kind of the popular landing spot for those who like to predict these things. Admit it, you've done 12 mock drafts already. Right now, they have 3 first-round picks, including number 5 overall. If you think about the teams ahead of them, well, Cincinnati is number 1. Cincinnati will have its choice if the Bengals stay at number 1, and there's certainly plenty of momentum for Joe Burrow. We've also talked about that number 3 pick, the Detroit Lions. Could they possibly get their quarterback of the future? Could they possibly decide that they wanted to select Tua and then wait, right? I mean, just throwing the possibility out there. Select Tua, use Matt Stafford for 1 more year, and then wait to see what happens. Give him the time to rehab, see how quickly he can come on, and then make that transition. So that's one that that I thought about. We'll see. We'll see what else, what other possibilities are there if the Dolphins decide they might want to move up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.